The pencils are sharp. The brackets are ready. Your winners are selected, and the bets are on the table. That's right, it's time for March Mammal Madness. Where we pit the world's mightiest and even smallest mammals to see who will succeed and be crowned the best of the animal kingdom.
All right, Steve.
I have no idea what this is.
I know you have no idea. So, you obviously know that we're ahead of the final weekend for the NC2A tournament for both men and women.
I do know that.
But you didn't do a bracket this year.
I haven't done a bracket.
So you have no skin in the game over there. You also have no skin in the game here. But March Mammal Madness is exactly what it sounds like. There is scientists who do these simulations of all these different types of animals and who would win in a battle. Have you ever played this game far as like what would win, a shark or a bear?
I have a thought about it.
Who would win between a shark and a bear?
A bear.
Why?
Bears are badass. They are. You don't. I mean, I've been close to bears. Terrifying.
All right. So we finally have the results of who won the whole thing. So I'm going to say what the final roar was, not the final four, the final roar. So on one end we had a gelada and a puma. Now, what is a gelada? What do you think a gelada is? It's not ice cream.
A rat?
It is not
big
a rat.
Big rat?
It is not a rat.
Big marsupial?
It is a big monkey.
Oh, really?
Sometimes called the bleeding heart monkey, the gelada baboon.
Why does it have a
is
coffee
a species
name?
Of old world monkey found only in the Ethiopian highlands. So we have basically a monkey.
Where they grow coffee.
With great hair. Versus a puma. What do you think won?
I'd say puma.
You're right.
Yeah.
Puma did win. So puma made it to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, we have a polar bear.
Oh.
Versus Ginkgo and Rizzo, which did we ever figure out what that actually is? It's like a tree, right?
Yeah, I think it's a tree. It could be a whale, but I think it's a tree.
It could be
no
a whale?
Sense.
I don't get it.
I looked it up as a whale. There's a
it's got to be a whale
name.
It's yeah.
It went very
this
far.
Was always a confusion of it was the number one seed in its bracket. And now it's against a polar bear. We didn't understand how it kept winning, but yet here we are. What wins? A polar bear?
Polar bear.
Okay, you're right. Also, they're right
there, too.
Of course
I'm right again.
Well done.
Because I know stuff.
So you were the only one. I had a narwhal beating a polar bear. I was also wrong there.
The long...
Yeah, the unicorn of the sea.
Awkward.
I picked the narwhal to win the whole thing,
and I
failed.
No.
All right, so what do you think wins? A puma or a polar bear?
Polar bear.
And you were also right. You would have won this whole thing.
I know,
because
I'm smart.
You don't even know what this is.
I don't have to know.
You didn't know what a gelada was.
It's a coffee. Isn't it some sort of coffee or flavoring?
I just told you. It's a monkey.
I don't buy that. That seems made up to me.
I mean, valid.
I've never been to Ethiopia, so I shouldn't really talk. But I would like to go because they grow coffee there.
So there you go. Mm-hmm. Are you, so I guess.
Yeah, I'm last one standing.
You had a polar bear. You had a polar bear winning the whole thing, right?
Yeah. What do I win then?
You win nothing.
Nothing. No.
You win absolutely nothing. You know, you get to win what we're going to talk about next. What's on your mind?
Oh, it's up to me?
Yeah.
Let me think about it during the break.
All right. When we come back, Steve's Choice on Spanning the State. All right, Steve.
I thought you were waiting for me.
No,
there.
Steve, what do you want? So what do you, we, that was your, that was for guessing correctly on March Mammal Madness.
Yes,
the polar bear won the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Your prize is what you want to talk about until the bottom of the hour news.
So sort of inside baseball a little bit, but we both have shows.
We do.
More news to follow.
You've been doing this a lot longer than I have.
Yeah.
You're a seasoned veteran.
So because of my life experience, I was basically handed a show. Here's 3 hours talk.
Because I have a follow-up story anecdote to that, but when they first approached you, because I know you like to say, not like to say, you did, you studied broadcast journalism in college,
right? I did,
right?
Yeah. Seriously.
And so, but you had a very different career. Well, maybe you spoke in public and addressed.
I did a lot of that.
You know, you addressed the people that you managed. But when they were like, we want you to talk on the biggest stick in the state, were you nervous? Were you at all just like, was there a part of you that had imposter syndrome and was like, I can't do that?
Yeah, not nervous. I don't really get nervous, and I've talked about this on the air before. I'm not wired that way, so because I don't understand nervousness. I know people do get nervous, but it doesn't really serve a purpose other than being nervous. It doesn't make you better, I don't think. Anyway, so I definitely had imposter syndrome.
Okay.
For me, it was like, you want me to talk for 3 hours? And literally back then, at the early stages of the 8-year run that I've had, it's whatever I wanted to talk about. So if something irritated or ticked me off, I spent an hour on it.
Mm-hmm.
I have learned so much in the 8 years, which hopefully I'm a better broadcaster now. And I guess if I read, like today, for example, I did a show today. I had two guests, one on each side, Ben Wickler and
Rick Esenberg,
my friend Rick Esenberg.
How'd you forget that?
Who would be mad about me forgetting his name? Conservative, obviously a liberal Democrat, as high as you go in Wisconsin, chair of the Democratic Party. And I was reading a text line, and for the first time in a long time, it was overwhelmingly positive. And it actually...
On both sides. As far as both guests?
Absolutely.
All right.
And I'm reading this thing, because, you know, you and I both spent time reading this. I don't generally pay much attention after the show.
It'll thicken your skin.
It will.
This and the social media comments, well, they're certainly thicken your skin.
Yeah. So, I mean, and on the same day, I'm talking today, this morning, Steve, you're the most brilliant person on Milwaukee radio. And like two texts later, you're the dumbest guy on the station in radio in Milwaukee. Literally two texts away. What would you make of that?
No, I mean, I think that's the same thing. I have, you know, when I post a video that starts to get traction, and there's some people who are sharing it because they love it so much, and then I have trolls, and not necessarily trolls, I have people who disagree with me. And so it's just, it's different opinions, it's different interpretations of what you're saying, it's people who agree, and it's just, you can't control how what you're saying is received by the other person.
So here's why I brought this up, because I've been asked, well, why would you bring it up? Because I think it matters. And I make a big deal out of telling people that on my show, we do things differently than a lot of people that talk about politics. And I think you understand this. There are generally a lot of one sides, right? Whether it's a local talk station in Milwaukee that's very overwhelming conservative, or the other station group across the state that's more liberal. And I don't know.
It's an understatement.
exactly. I don't know what that serves exactly. Because, you know, a lot of head nodding and approving is not really stimulating your gray matter or your brain cells to think differently, or maybe it's contributing to some of the things that ail us. I guess that's my concern. So when I will read these things, it's because I want to make sure that what we do, you, me, anyone else that does this, understand that whatever we say, there's people that disagree with us. But we have to make educated arguments for why we think what we think.
But don't you think that's everything? The one of the most eye-opening things that I've experienced as of late, I made a silly video. I don't know if I've talked about this on air or not, because most of the stuff that I put on social media is, you know, it's my Journal Sentinel explainers, and it's opinion videos, but it's kind of talking about politics and policy and news in a digestible way.
Yeah.
I don't post a lot of lifestyle type content or reviews or anything like that. And I sometimes post about my life, but I had this video of Frankie, and she's wearing a onesie that I got in the boys section. And I don't know, as a father of two girls, I'm sure it was like this in the 80s and 90s, but sometimes the slogans that go on kids' clothing is very gendered.
Yes.
And this, it was in the boys section, and it said, "Daddy's little genius," you know, and I made a joke. It's a video of her wearing it. And I said, "Normalize dressing your daughter in clothes from the boys section." And then in the caption, I said, "Daddy's little genius is better than daddy's little princess." I have a million views on that video, yeah, and almost 3,000 some comments of people fighting over that sentiment. It was a video that took me 2 minutes to post. I didn't think anything of it, but just by sparking the debate about how to dress your children, open the floodgates for people talking about forcing wokeism on your kids versus letting your kids wear whatever they want, and how boys' clothes are built better and they're cheaper, but then boy moms being mad because there's already not that many options for boys, so stay out of the boys' section if you don't have a boy. Like, it was wild to see the reaction. And this isn't political. This isn't politics at all. And to see how what you can say as kind of like a throwaway joke, how people receive it, like, you just can't control.
So I see that stuff every day, and your stuff and other people's stuff. The views are just incredible, and that's why you're good at what you do. But I see that, and I said this on Twitter yesterday or the day before, we're a nation of arguers and complainers now. It doesn't matter what the issue is. Literally, someone will argue the point on whatever that is. To your point, that's what they're doing. Something as innocent as that. And I don't care where you shop. I don't care how you dress your kids. I mean, put some clothes on them, for Pete's sake, unless it's appropriate at a beach or something. But, I mean, come on. Why do we care about that stuff? Why would we get so mad that you chose to put Daddy's Little Genius on and that became this big arguing point? That's stupid. Be better than that. And that's why I say, listen better, be smarter, and a lot of other things. Leadership is hard. A lot of things that I've had my slogans of my life that other really smart people taught me. And if I have a message for anybody doing a show or listening to a show, try to listen better and be smarter. Stop arguing and complaining about everything because it serves no purpose. Just like in my world, being nervous serves absolutely zero purpose. Doesn't make me better. Doesn't make me smarter. It's a waste of my time, so therefore I don't get nervous.
You've never gotten nervous.
When I was a kid, I was very shy. I overcame it. I had a great teacher. Mrs. Adi taught me. She's my speech teacher. Brilliant. Said, Steve, you are good at that. Don't hide. Don't be shy. Speak more.
Is it because you are so confident that you don't think you're going to fail?
No, I don't worry about
that. I feel like nervousness is not necessarily something you can control. It's something that happens to your nervous system.
Look, I know everyone's wired differently. That's just how I'm wired.
So you never get like butterflies in your stomach?
Not really, no. Maybe because I've been forced into some really high-profile situations, including having an international camera thrust in my face in August of 2012. So I've kind of seen everything. I've had my life threatened numerous times. I kind of lived through all that stuff.
All right.
Maybe that's my deal.
I still get nervous for public speaking.
Like, it's not a bad thing. You can't control
it. I feel like that always just, my sentiment about being nervous has always been it shows that you care and that you're invested in doing a good job. And often I think that adrenaline before you start speaking publicly gives a little bit more oomph to the performance.
I don't want to demonize being nervous. That's a natural thing. Okay. I just don't get nervous.
You just don't get nervous.
I don't.
No big deal.
No.
All right. ABC News and local headlines are next. All right, I said this a lot this week, but...
Steve's awesome.
Oh! That too. But Wisconsin loves, I think, Wisconsin loves Wisconsin. We love our sports heroes. We love our history. There's like, there's certain things, there's reasons why, like, Charlie Baron's tapped into something as far as
highlighting.
Right? And like tapping into the things that Wisconsin loves. And we love to claim the people who have made their mark in the world, who have ties to Wisconsin. And now award-winning journalist and Wisconsin author Dean Robbins has captured those stories, specifically of 100 people that made their mark on Wisconsin. It's called Wisconsin Idols, 100 Heroes Who Changed the State, the World, and Me. And it's a book of essays that tells the true tales of legends and trailblazers with Wisconsin connections who left their mark on the world. Welcome back to the show, Dean.
Hi, nice to be here.
So how long have you been working on, because it's 100 different essays, so is this something you did over a long period of time, or something you did in one fell swoop?
Probably been working on it since I was about 5 years old.
Okay.
Wow.
I've always had this huge collection of heroes, and I've been collecting them my whole life, and there are people like Houdini and Jackie Robinson and Orson Welles and Bart Starr, and it turns out that so many of them have a connection to Wisconsin. I wasn't born here. I was born in St. Louis. But when I came here in the 80s, I discovered just an extraordinary number of heroic figures who had a connection to the state.
So what's your criteria? Like, you mentioned some big ones there, Houdini, obviously, the world of magic. I think he was from like Appleton or Oshkosh.
He was born here, yeah.
Yeah. And then you got mm-hmm. Bart Starr, now also not a bad one. Like, who makes the cut? Because your thing is 100, right? 100 people? 100,
yes.
100 heroes who changed the state, the world, and me.
Yeah, so I had to have some rules, right? So
that, who did
the first
make the
thing
cuts?
Was that, well, I actually had some more that I couldn't even get into the book. But so the criteria was that they had to have some connection to the state, whether they lived here and are kind of associated with Wisconsin, like, as you said, Bart Starr, Hank Aaron, Houdini, Georgia O'Keeffe, Oprah Winfrey is from here. And then there were a bunch of people who just had a significant experience while they were passing through the state. And that would be people like Jackie Robinson and the Beatles and Bob Dylan, Duke Ellington, Harrison Ford. So that was one criterion. The other was that they had to have made a mark on the larger world beyond Wisconsin. I didn't want this to be a regional book. I wanted it to be about transformative figures who had a huge effect on, you know, everybody.
So you mentioned a lot of big names.
They had to be important to me. Yeah, they just had to be important to me was the last criterion.
So who in that grouping of 100 people, heroes, would we not recognize by name?
Well, there were some little-known ones in there. I mentioned a bunch of the famous ones. There's a woman named Viola Smith, who was the first professional female drumming star in the 1930s and 1940s. She was known as the fastest girl drummer in the world. She's from this little town called Mount Calvary.
Wow.
You might not recognize the name Meinhard Robbie, but I know you'd recognize his face because he was the Munchkin Corner in The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, everybody knows that guy.
Yeah, the one who said the Wicked Witch wasn't merely dead, but really most sincerely dead.
That's awesome.
So then what were some of the stories? Because what was the Beatles story? Obviously the Beatles are the Beatles, but I don't know. When did they pass through here and what happened?
So they came through at the height of Beatlemania. They made one appearance in Wisconsin. It was in Milwaukee in 1964. And it was really, it wasn't just a typical Beatles concert. There were some really exceptional things that happened. When they landed, you know, at the height of Beatlemania, all the fans would show up at the airport screaming and wanting to get a glimpse of the Beatles. Well, the Milwaukee police did kind of a dirty trick and moved the plane away from where the fans were so that they couldn't get a look at the Beatles. And the Beatles called out the police for doing this at a press conference. And they also made fun of the local journalists who were asking a whole bunch of dumb questions. So they were just thumbing their noses at the older generation, but then they poured everything they had into pleasing the kids that got them, that loved them. And Paul McCartney even called one of the fans who wasn't able to make the concert in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
Dean, one of the things that both Kristen and I have is a natural curiosity about people and topics that we talk about on our shows. What is it about people's stories that makes these so interesting that you have to write a book about them?
Well, you know, I think we're in a time that we really need heroic role models, right? We're just so often seeing the worst that people can do nowadays. And I think Wisconsin Idol shows the best that people can be. You know, these are people who have just inspired me my whole life. I have their posters up on my wall. I've interviewed them as a journalist. I've visited the places where they've lived. And if the book had inspired a similar response among readers, I'd be thrilled.
All right. Well, where can people find the book?
Well, you can get it online at any bookseller. It's widely available. You can find it in your local bookstore. I know it's at Boswell in Milwaukee. It's at Mystery to Me in Madison. I don't think it'll be hard to get a hold of.
And then it's through Wisconsin Historical Society, right?
Yes, Wisconsin Historical Society Press.
We love them. All right, well, Dean Robbins, thank you so much for joining us today. I can't wait to get this book because it seems, like you said, the Wisconsin connection and the greater world and some of these people that some stories we've never heard of before.
Yeah, well, I hope you enjoy it.
All right, thanks
thank
so much.
Dean.
The book is Wisconsin Idols, 100 Heroes Who Changed the State, the World, and Me, and he is Dean Robbins. We'll be back with more after this. What's that laugh for?
I was going to do an FM. Hey, 620 WTMJ, 245. Kristen and Steve hanging out in the afternoon.
Is that an FM thing?
I guess. Old FM. The Avenue, downtown Milwaukee. How's everybody doing this afternoon? Going to a concert tonight? Hey, maybe smoke some dope? What do you think? That's really
do that voice always.
No, I'm not doing that. If my wife, she is right now, my wife's Kathy's yelling at the radio, her little handset radio listening to that. She goes, don't ever do that.
Don't ever do that again.
Yeah.
All right, so wanted to just circle back quickly before we get out of here for the day about toxicity. We were talking about the text line and comments and stuff before, but coming a little bit back because I saw this, I think this was earlier this week, but it kind of got lost in the sauce with the election.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I love that phrase, by the way.
Lost in the sauce.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because this was published by Lawrence Andrea from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on April 1st. So people were maybe a little distracted. But I don't know if people, if you're online, if you've seen this ongoing spat between two of Wisconsin's.
It's almost a lover's spat, to be
House,
honest.
House representatives.
Yeah, I said
so
that.
Mark Pocan, who's the Dane County representative, and Derek Van Orden, who represents the 3rd District,
Western
Wisconsin. So they, online, I think specifically on X,
I think so.
Just snipe at each other. Constantly. And I saw this because my old boss, David, who was at the Journal Sentinel, who now works for WISACT, and
yeah,
which is a group that tries to get bipartisan support and lower the temperature, he posted this and was just like, these two need to grow up and knock it off.
You think?
Yeah. And I don't, like, what, once you're, it's one thing for sleuths online to be sniping at each other, right? Whether you're a punt, like, you're a pundit or you're someone who has a big social media following where, like, people are following you because you kind of one up other people or embarrass them or make fun of them or whatever. And there's plenty of people who do that. But once you're an elected official, does anyone like this when they have these public spats with one another?
It's like what I said before. Senate is like high school, honor students. The House is like junior high, middle school, not honor students. I'll put it that way. I was going to say something meaner. And just the stupid things they say to each other. This is not conduct of a U.S. congressperson. It's not. Stop. First of all, why are you doing this? Now, they're completely different people. One is a Navy SEAL. I'm not sure beyond his public service what Mark Polk Canada has done in his life.
I mean, because he was in the state legislature before he ran for Congress.
Sort of a one-trick pony. That's all he's ever done.
I mean, that's giving Derek Van Orden, and considering what he's done since being in Congress.
I'm not giving him any slack at all.
I was gonna say,
it's also stupid.
There's a trail of things that he's done, including crying wolf when he was in Milwaukee.
Somebody
during the RNC.
Him up.
That a 100-pound protester hip-checked him and she should be arrested. So that's a different story. But literally in this article, it's called, they reference it as the most toxic intra-delegation relationships in Congress.
No, I think Boebert or what's her face? MTG would probably win that contest. But
you think so?
Yeah.
Right.
They're more toxic. But I will say this. There are two congresspeople who are acting like little infants. You should stop doing it immediately. And I don't know what pleasure you get out of it. You look foolish. You don't look like professional government servants. And I don't know why you're doing it, because it serves no purpose. And just on that subject, I don't know if you caught, I played it on my show yesterday, the day before.
We played it yesterday after the election, when
I
crashed your show.
Yeah, Rebecca Bradley.
Justice Rebecca Bradley, yeah. Who's up for re-election next year.
She had a tantrum basically talking about the newly elected Justice Susan Crawford. Grow up. What are you doing? Why are you acting like that? This is a colleague. You don't have to agree with them on politics. You're supposed to be just interpreting the law of the land of the state of Wisconsin. This idea that you're going to somehow get along or not get along, that's, again, junior high stuff. Grow the hell up. What are you doing there?
So if you had to rank toxic workplaces, and we were going with Wisconsin Supreme Court, the Wisconsin legislature, or the House of Representatives, which one do you think is the most toxic to the least toxic?
It might be.
As far as relationships and working with one another.
It might be from now going forward, the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Because they literally, four, one side, three, the other, they do not like each other.
They do not like each other.
They clearly don't socialize together, because you never see them together other than when forced.
Despite they all look like they could be in a book club together.
Yeah, well, was it like six women, right?
Yeah. Most women on the Supreme Court in the country.
Poor Brian Hagedorn, who I would argue is the most even-headed justice on that court, by the way.
I don't think you'd get a lot of pushback for that.
I think that's dead right.
I think he's proven himself to be, I think he's proven himself to be what we actually want judges to be, where his, you know, he worked for Scott Walker.
Yeah.
In his politics, he is conservative, but how he has ruled has been much more
even-handed
and unpredictable.
Which is a good thing for a judge, by the way.
There's a lot of conservatives who aren't big fans of that.
And because I know he listens to 620 WTMJ, because I've had him on my show a bunch of times. Justice Hagedorn, I would like to talk to you in the next month about all the things that are happening in this country. Not specific cases, but what you see.
You want to ask him how toxic the workplace is?
Yeah, I won't ask him that. Well, I may, but he probably won't answer. But that's a great question. But I think what we're looking at here is a Wisconsin Supreme Court that is probably looking at a lot of 4-3s for some of the biggest issues of the state.
Well, not only potentially a lot of 4-3s, but also how many rulings will they actually make? Because there was a record low number of decisions made in this last session.
Not necessarily a bad thing.
Maybe not a bad thing, but something that is a fact is a fact, right? As far as how many things they finally got to a decision on. And not everything was 4-3.
No.
They just had a unanimous decision.
Yeah.
And this is the other thing that we didn't really dive in on. I haven't gotten a straight answer, and then we'll go to break. So, you know, the thing that Elon Musk had said, why he was so involved. Hakeem Jeffries said the same thing as far as the congressional redistricting maps. But as far as I remember, the current court, the liberal-leaning court, rejected that case last year. They only did the state legislative maps.
Yep.
They did not do the congressional maps. And I don't think there is an open case right now for that, like a pending case for them to rule on for the congressional mess.
I think you're correct.
And so this is a hypothetical situation that they were even talking about.
And it demonstrates something. They often carefully consider what they're going to take up. And sometimes the best decision is to not take it up. Sometimes we let the legislature and all those elected representatives do their damn jobs. And that might be a message that's worth sending from this current court to the current legislature.
There you go. All right. Let's do this, and then we'll come back and wrap it up on Spanning the State. I believe it's time for me to fly. All right. You're going to the Brewers game tonight.
I am.
You think we're going to have another win?
This like
after two wins in a row?
I hope so. You always hope. This is like my first game in a while. I haven't like done like something for work.
Did you
work.
Not go in at all on opening day?
I did go in, yeah, briefly. I said hi to some people and hung out. And I didn't have any food, though, so I'm going to do that tonight.
What's your go-to order?
It's very simplistic, a brat with stadium sauce and probably Miller High Life.
Okay.
Yeah, that's America right there. You got to love that. I hope for a Brewers win. I'm going to be with my colleagues and teammates, so I'm excited about that.
So, yeah, so it was good after a little bit of a rough start. Two wins in a row. Game yesterday was great.
I was worried about it. But now here we are.
It's a long season.
It is. It's too long, actually.
Yeah, that's probably a different topic for a different day. But the plenty of time to catch up on the season.
All right, so let's compliment our texters. You were awesome today.
We had a lot of texters come in today. We had a great observation as far as the challenge for listeners sometimes because we do change topics pretty quickly.
I didn't even think about that.
And also there's a delay. If you're listening on the streaming, there's a little bit of, I notice this sometimes when I'm listening on my phone versus getting in the car.
Yeah.
Not always synced up.
And I love the fact that one of the texters remembered Mrs. Adi I did, or Miss Adi, changed my life, and the texter indicated the same thing. Those teachers are special, some of them. And they should be remembered in that way. She's since passed, but every time I have a chance to talk about her, literally changed my life. One conversation. That's a game changer. That's by definition. So thank you, Mrs.
All right. Wisconsin's Afternoon News is next. We'll see you tomorrow.